And I went upstairs and sat with Brent as he was running the sound. And I mean, that looks like a Boeing jet up there, really. I mean, there's a lot of knobs that you can turn up there. And they do a great job. And week after week, I know within the last 5-6 weeks that I've been here, they've been tweaking the sound system. And today, guys, it really does sound good. I know Shane mentioned about the monitors. Y'all can work on that, but it really did sound good out here. And I told Shane, I said, you know, you can't lead if you're not heard. So you were able to hear him better today, and consequently, you were singing louder and better today. So to God be the glory for that. A couple other things. I've noticed in your bulletin for the last 5 weeks, and then again today, you still have a couple openings in Sunday school. Somebody is sitting here on these pews today that can fill those openings. I have no doubt about that. So talk with Miss Angie about that. There's a need there in Sunday school, and there's somebody here who can fill that need. I see that there's also some information there about needing help in the nursery. I tell you, there's going to be some special recognition, I believe, when nursery workers get to heaven. That's just a place that I believe that God blesses. If you give of your time to stay with those precious little ones, God will honor that and bless you in a very special way for that. So there's some information there on your bulletin about Sunday school and about nurseries. So keep those things in mind. And also, I know that Miss Allie is looking for a couple people to help on Wednesday night with the youth program. So keep that in mind as well. And then, Shane, I noticed you had a few extra seats up here in the choir. So there's a need there. And choir, you did a great job this morning. I appreciate it. It's great to have a choir leading worship on Sunday morning. Even if you have special music, it's great to have that. So choir, you did a great job. And for those of you who can sing, choir rehearsals on Wednesday night, right after the Bible study. And for those of you who can't sing, I'm sure there's something else you can do. So everybody can be involved. Everybody can be involved. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And before I get into that Scripture, you know, In the past 50 years, a lot of things have changed. In fact, I used to say 50 years ago, I wasn't even born. But I can't say that anymore. 50 years ago, I was right in the middle of my teenage years. But you know, 50 years ago, computers, think about computers 50 years ago. They would fill up a whole floor of a building. They'd fill up a whole room. And today, you can hold one in the palm of your hand. Today, we rocket individuals up into space and return them to Earth in what amounts to a modern type of airplane that we call a shuttle. Scientists tell us that deep, dense space exploration, as well as even possible colonization, is possible in our lifetime on another planet. And it seems like every year they're discovering another planet or another galaxy out there that they didn't know existed. In the medical world, doctors are now routinely transplanting organs. And it was years ago when we'd hear about a transplant, and I mean, it would make the news, and I mean, they would be covering it like crazy because it was something new. Live streaming, we can live stream, we can do FaceTime, we can do all that with just a little phone in the palm of our hand. Some great and wonderful and truly awesome things. Things of excitement, things of importance, but look what else has happened. Divorce rate has skyrocketed. Crime has drastically increased. And think about this. I was thinking about this week. 50 years ago, the biggest problems in our school system was chewing gum and being late for class. Today, even in middle schools, it's drug abuse, violent crimes, teenage pregnancies, guns and knives. It seems like for all of our advancements, there seems to be multiple setbacks in other areas. In our own individual lives, down through the years, spiritually, you probably have seen measurable growth in your own life. But have you seen any measurable growth in the last 2 months? Any measurable growth in the last 2 weeks? Have you even picked up your Bible in the last 2 days? You know, as we look around in this crazy world that we live in, we see stuff happening every day, and it makes us wonder if Jesus' time to come back is not truly getting closer and closer. The world is a stage, and biblical prophecy is being played out scene by scene, day after day, and sometimes we don't even realize it. What are we as individuals to do? What is we as Christians to do? We're to keep pressing on. We're to keep pressing on. You know, Satan desires to stop us as Christians. He desires to stop us dead in our tracks. From Satan's viewpoint, it'd be great if he just block us from growing ever as a Christian. If you're a Sunday school teacher, from Satan's viewpoint, it would be great if you just not study as much during the week. From Satan's viewpoint, he really doesn't want you to spend time studying so you can pour the Word of God into those class members. He doesn't like that. As a mother and father, from Satan's viewpoint, it would be great if you just slack off in your prayer life and praying for your family. Listen, all Satan needs is just a little opening, just a little crack that he'll be able to squeeze into and plant himself into your household, and he can take your household down. In fact, all Satan needs is just a willing church member to forsake God and those biblical teachings that you've learned down through the years in order for the old devil himself to enter into a godly church fellowship and just rip it apart. See, he uses a critical spirit, and many times I'm amazed at the people he uses who makes themselves available to Satan. Now, I trust the takeaway that you get from these examples is to forever be on guard. Be on guard. Keep pressing on. Keep moving forward. Now, it's interesting that this passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning, which reminds me of pressing on, does not even mention the words press on or pressing on. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verses 5 and 6. I'm sure this is a very, very familiar passage to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I can't tell you how many times I have quoted those verses out loud, how many times I have gone through those verses within my own mind and my own spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. A very simple passage, a fairly easy passage to memorize. Let's look at these verses. Perhaps there's something that we'll all see that we need concerning this passage and the situation that we're dealing with right now. Perhaps there's something that we need to be reminded of as we read and look at these two verses. Perhaps there's something that we may have forgotten about, something that we may have been taking for granted. Maybe there's just one particular point that we fail to zero in on as we seek God for direction, as we seek him to direct our paths. And you know, that could be the reason why we don't sense any guidance in a particular situation that we're seeking God for right now. You know, sometimes we pray about things, sometimes we bring things to God, but it just doesn't seem like he's hearing us because we don't see him doing anything. It just doesn't seem like our prayers are getting through. And many times it's because we haven't met the conditions set forth in the scripture through which we're seeking God for. Maybe today I'll mention something and the Holy Spirit will use it, and you'll see that that's the key to having your prayers answered. That's the key to receiving direction from God about a certain matter. That's the key to instruct you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Are you ready? Let's look at these verses. That first phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust means to cling to base reliance upon. In this case, it means to cling to God and to rely upon Him, to lean on Him. Trusting God involves at least three things, and here they are very quickly. Trusting God involves first an act of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." My trust in God is based or rooted in my faith in God and who God is. Trusting in God involves, secondly, an act of love. Love began with God. As we mentioned last week, love is God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And by the way, that verse says, it does not say that God just loved a portion or a certain group of people in the world. It says God so loved the world, the world. The word "the," T-H-E, means all the world. God died for all people. And my trust in the Lord is based on the fact that God loves me and wants only the best for me, for my good and for His glory. And then thirdly, trusting in God involves an act of obedience. An act of obedience. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So to trust in God is to have faith in Him, to love Him, and to be obedient in Him. Those three things prove our trust in God. Now, I'm very sure this does not exhaust the meaning of the word trust, but for time's sake this morning, we'll just use those three things and move on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what else? And lean not on your own understanding. Why is not leaning on our own understanding so important? Well, the basic idea is to learn to discern, to be able to distinguish between multiple ways, multiple directions. One or more of those ways may be good or not so good, but there is one way that is always the best way, and it's God's way. Our understanding, our own personal understanding, can be clouded by various things going on in our life. At any given time, there's things that are coming at us, and sometimes we're not able to discern exactly what our understanding about something is. So that's the reason we have to not lean on our understanding, but we have to trust God. And as we continue with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." In other words, come to the point of recognizing or acknowledging God in every area of your life. In order to do that, we have to understand what the word acknowledge means. It means to accept or admit the existence of God and the fact of God's importance in our life. And we need to include here acknowledging God in all areas, good areas and bad areas, all areas of our life. We have to come to a total acknowledgement of God in our life. He already is keenly aware of everything you do, of everything you say, of everything you think, of everything going on in your life. But we need to acknowledge that to God. He knows, but He wants us to acknowledge that. When we arrive at this point, you need to remember that we need to acknowledge or admit before God all of our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8-10, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But that passage goes on to say, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise the Lord for that verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And then the scripture goes back and reinforces what was said at the beginning. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Perhaps right here, we've come to a point in a familiar passage where our understanding of this passage is not really clear. In fact, you might even say, "Wow, Pastor, I didn't realize that sin in our lives had anything to do with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'd never made that connection before." You see, that one line, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him," Those six words really widen this verse out, especially that phrase. It really takes in a whole lot of territory. When you're acknowledging God in all your ways, you need to acknowledge sin. And acknowledging those sins, you do so because you understand that it's God who loved you so much that he sent his only son to die for your sins. So the sole purpose of acknowledging that is to realize it's God who can only forgive our sins. It's only God who can forgive our sins. And I believe it says, when it says in all of our ways acknowledge him, I believe it also not only involves the sin territory, but I believe it also involves those good areas of our life too. Sometimes we want to take credit for those good things in our life, don't we? Listen, those good things that occur in your life are blessings from Almighty God. You've done absolutely nothing to deserve them. You say, well, you know, that new car, that new truck that I bought, I worked hard for it. Well, who gave you the strength to work for it? Who gave you the ability and the wisdom to have the job that you have that earns the money in your household so you might be able to buy that new vehicle? God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That vehicle is a blessing from God, and you need to realize that and acknowledge that the good things that you possess in your life are truly blessings from God, and they're not yours because you haven't done anything to do to gain them. When you're acknowledging God in all your ways, you also need to acknowledge all those blessings, as I said. And it's only God who is worthy of receiving the praise and the thanks for those blessings. So we need to acknowledge God. And when you're acknowledging God in all your ways, you need to realize that we need to acknowledge our daily reliance upon him. You know, in other words, we need to recognize what God really is doing in our life. Sometimes I don't think we understand that. You know, if our heart doesn't beat, we die. It's God who allows our heart to beat. If God doesn't permit our lungs to fill up with oxygen and go through the cycle of inhaling and exhaling and continue and repeating that process over and over again, we don't breathe, we die. It's only God who should be thanked for meeting and supplying our every need, even our physical needs. These two verses that we're talking about today, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, speak of our day-to-day faith, trust, and reliance upon God. Now follow me in this scenario. There's something going on. There's a problem, a situation. You need direction. You need to come before God and you bring this situation before God and you claim Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on his own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But you don't see any response. You don't see any answer. You don't see any direction. What's wrong? Well, it may be due in part to the scripture that we've been talking about. What God desires for you to know and learn is this. You can have the confidence and assurance that he will lead and guide you if you acknowledge him in all areas of your life. God is worthy to be praised. Acknowledge him as Lord of your life. You say, I know he's Lord. Can he truly be Lord of your life if you keep saying no to him? If he's instructing you to do specific things, just like we mentioned a while ago with the nursery, the Sunday school choir, different things like that. If God is prompting you to do that and you keep saying no to him, is he Lord of your life? It's about lordship. Is God the Lord of your life? Does your actions and does your submission to him bear witness to the fact that he is Lord of your life? Now, I think I can make it even more simpler to understand. Learn to trust God with every minute of your life. Not just this minute. Not just right now. Not just a decision on what's you're dealing with in the present. Learn to trust him with all decisions throughout life. Trusting God with all of our heart means to honor and to acknowledge him in every single thing we do. It's a choice that we have to make to invite God into every area of our life, every day, for the purpose of doing life with Him. Learn to trust Him. Remember a few months ago when we were talking about how we were to lean not on our own understanding. When we were seeking God's will, God's direction on something is vitally important. When we come to the point, we have to make ourselves neutral in that desire. Making ourselves neutral in a situation is tough. Why? Because we think we know what's best for us, don't we? God knows what's best for us. We don't always know that. The only desire we should have is to have the desire of God's will in our life. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what this is about. It's tough because we think we know what's best, don't we? We really do. But listen closely. I've been to a point in a couple of times, especially in the last recent years, where I've come back and said, God, thank you for not giving me what I wanted. Thank you for not giving me what I wanted at that time. And then in two recent situations, God gave me much more than I could have ever imagined. I think it's Ephesians 3:20 that says that God is able to give us an abundantly more than we can ever ask. And in a situation that I'm dealing with right now, I look back and I see where God was preparing me for the situation. And there's just a sense of peace about it. I can't explain it. There's a sense of peace about trusting God. Peace because I'm waiting for God to work. Just the creator of the universe, I'm waiting for Him to work for me. How about that? Let that sink in. The God who created, I mean, He put the stars in the skies. He brought the raindrops from heaven. He brings the sunshine. He brings the moon. All these things. The creator of the universe is working for you if you'll trust Him and acknowledge Him in all your lives. Look, you may know a lot of people. You may know a lot of important people. You may know a lot of famous people. But I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know Him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. How will you know which way God is leading or what God wants you to do in a given situation? Well, number one, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has already established a perfect way for us to go. He's already established. He's already got life's journey all mapped out for us. And it's up to you and I to seek Him and to be obedient to Him. He allows us to have the free will to choose His way or some other way. But there's consequences when we choose the right way contrary to God's way in our life. Number two, quickly turn to Psalm 32, verse 8 for a moment. I want you to see this. Psalm 32, verse 8. This is really important that you see this verse. Psalm 32, verse 8. Says, "And I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Now, I prayed this week, and I was praying last night, and I prayed this morning that God would really open your heart and allow you to see this and understand this portion of the scripture, especially this portion, but I prayed about the whole message. But when we look at David's writing in Psalm 32:8, David is prophetically speaking to his people by way of sharing God's word with them. What David is saying in Psalm 32:8, he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye," is this. God has promised to teach you, to instruct you, and to guide you. And he says he'll do it with his eye. Now, the whole concept of that is this. one of an individual so attentive to another individual that just a glance will reveal to you what that other individual is saying. Now, ladies, if you're anywhere close to like my wife, you are experts in this. And I do mean this with all respect, but God has blessed a woman with eyes in such a way that a lady, a mother, or a wife can literally shout out loud with her eyes. Men, you know what I'm saying, don't you? I will guarantee you, children knows what I'm talking about. Your children can be doing something wrong, and that mom look over at that child, and she can guide that child with her eyes. And that child will very quickly become very obedient when he or she sees mom's eyes looking at him. When that child catches a glimpse of mom, oh me, that child will straighten up. You know, we smile and laugh, but it's true. That illustrates and helps us understand what the scripture is telling us about God, that he will guide us with his eye. And you know, someone's saying right now, but how can God do that? The Bible says no one has ever seen God. Oh, my friend, listen. That's a faith reality check right there. What is this? It's the Bible. And what is the Bible? It's God's word. And here it is. Listen. God's word reveals who God is. And when you're in a right relationship with God, I believe you can prayerfully open up God's word, read it, and this book, God's word, will guide you in the decisions that you're making, that you have to make. It's an awesome book. It's a powerful book. People say, God's silent. He's not speaking to me. My friend, you need to repent of your sin and open up your Bible and God will speak to you. God can't speak to you with a closed Bible. God can't speak to you if you're not praying and seeking him. You can see God through his word, and when you see God, he's able to guide you with his eye because you're literally seeing the face of God through his word. It's all about faith and your relationship with him. And not only does God guide you with his eye, but as Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God study points out, God can also speak to you through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, and through circumstances, and through the church, meaning through God's people, in order to reveal his ways, his purposes, and himself to you. And if you've never been through that Experiencing God study, it's years old now, but it's worth getting the workbook and going through. It's so timely anytime you do it. Studies, as I said, it's been out for a number of years. But God really will reveal to you his will and his ways and guide you down the pathway if you seek him and read his word. Now, can I condense this whole message just into a form of a recipe? You like recipes, don't you? Good ones? Those that don't work out, you know, you kind of can those. But here's a recipe on how to find God's will. Trust God, acknowledge God, seek God. Three ingredients. Trust God, acknowledge God, seek God. And then here's a one-sentence instruction. Combine those three things together, be obedient to God, and then for the next 15 minutes, do what God says. And then when that 15 minutes is over, do it again. And then when that 15 minutes is over, do it again and keep on doing that TFN until further notice. That's how to find the will of God. Now, about 25 minutes ago, I made mention about keep pressing on. There's a gospel group named Selah that recorded a song several years called We Press On. Here's the words to two of those verses and chorus of that song. When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent all our resources, when we've given our all. And then here's the chorus. In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes. That's heaven. That's what they're singing about. That's the prize. That's where Christians are going to be someday. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Be encouraged today, church. Be encouraged. Keep pressing on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He, the God of the universe, will guide your path. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what you're seeking God for. But I pray that you'll trust Him. I pray that you'll seek Him with your whole heart and acknowledge Him in every area of your life. You may want to come to the altar today to thank God that He loves you so much that He would send His Son for you, that He does want to care for you and He does want to guide you. You may want to come here this morning just to seek God in some area, just to renew that constant seeking that you are seeking God for in whatever area it is in your life. You may just want to come and thank God for the peace that you have, knowing that His will is the perfect way and that He's given you the peace and the patience to wait on Him. Whatever the situation is, the altar is going to be open. We're going to sing a couple verses of an invitation hymn. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit's presence from the very beginning of this service up through even now. Thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Shane?
If everyone please stand. We're going to sing I Surrender All.
So attentive this morning. I believe, David, you have something you want to share with the congregation this morning. Brother, come on down.
I wrote down trust, acknowledge, and seek. Nowhere in the... Y'all have a seat for a second. Not going to take that much time, but have a seat. You know, nowhere in there does it say I and what I want or, you know, and I'm thinking about Gary's message last week and the Sunday school lessons that we've been learning and what Joseph has gone through and his trust in God's plan and that much bigger plan than what he had in mind. He went from being the favored son to the being sold as a slave, and then he went to being the number one guy in Potiphar's house, and then he went back to prison, and then he became the number two guy in all of Egypt, and then reconciliation happened with his family. So the reason that the deacons asked me to come up and have a little bit of a conversation with you today is, you know, where are we at as a church right now? And some of y'all, as I have and a number of, you know, where's our preacher? When are we getting a preacher? You know, that kind of thought process. And isn't that about us and not about God's plan? And so here's what I want to do today is to share a little bit of an insight in what's gone on that might help encourage you. And then I'm going to ask for everyone's help in here. And I'll ask for that in just a moment. But I've been a part of a men's accountability group for 32 years with three other men. And we meet once a week. And I shared this with our Sunday school class this morning. And one of those men, a little over 2 years ago, their church was $3.5 million in debt. They were 16 days away from closing their doors. 16 days away from closing their doors. They searched for a pastor, and some of y'all are going to go, "Oh, Lord, please don't tell me this," for 18 months. But they sought God's will, and 2 years ago, God sent them the man that he wanted them to have, not the one that they thought they were supposed to have. Like Gary said, you know, God gave me something different than what I wanted, and look at how it worked out. So that's what happened to them. So let me share with you where they are today. This is a church that's in Huntersville, North Carolina. This is a real scenario. And the reason I shared with you that we meet for, have met for 32 years, I lived that with Jeff for that period of time they were going through when they thought their church doors were going to be closed. Today, in 2 years, they've grown over 400%. Their $3.5 million debt is now down to $1.2 million, and they're on track to pay that off in late 2019 or early 2020. So I share all of that with you is that we all want what we want now, right? We're the microwave society. Whatever reason God's put us in out this process that we're going through right now, and we're in what I would consider a time of stabilization and a time of healing, I think that's taking place. And then I look at the future and what it can look like, and I see a true live example of what happened at this church. Look it up. It's Christ Community Church in Huntersville, North Carolina, and the growth that they've had and where they're at and some of the things that are going on with their men's organization, women's organization. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal story. So here's what the deacons would like to ask your help with. Number one, we've been challenged and asked to have an interim pastor be selected. And then obviously we have the pastoral search committee looking for who God has in store for us from a permanent standpoint. Deacons would like to ask for your help. So here's what I'd like to ask you guys to do. For those of you who have the ability to get up, to come down, and let's pray for our church and who God has in store for us from an interim perspective, what that's going to look like in the very, very near future, and also for who God has in store for us for long term. So if I could just ask that y'all come down and let's get on our knees and pray. And after a brief period of time, I'll close things and we can get to the place of eating sooner rather than later. So, Lord, we just come to you today and just ask that you help us get out of the way. And Lord, as Gary shared, and he had no idea I was coming up here, I had no idea what he was about to say, but the timeliness of your words that you're giving him is just incredible. Lord, just very simply that we just acknowledge you, we trust you, and we seek you. And Lord, we just lift up our church. Lord, we lift up who you may have in store for us as an interim pastor, Lord, and for that person to come and to help heal and stabilize and help us to continue to move forward as we seek your will as to who you have for us for a permanent senior pastor. So, Lord, again, just help us to get out of the way. Help us to look to you and lean on your plans and your plans only. Just ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.